Hello, everyone, and welcome. Paula V here. Thank you for joining us today. So happy to have you with us. I have an amazing gentleman with me today. I am so honored to have this interview. It is James Dignam, and he has just so much to offer. He's so amazing. He's actually going to be on both of my shows. Why Am I So Happy on BBS Radio and For the Love of Reiki on Voice America Radio. So I'm just so excited to share him worldwide. To begin, James, I just would like to give you a big thank you. And I'm so grateful for having you on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome. A little bit about James. He is a holistic health spirit mind body coach and founder of Renaissance to Well-Being. James is a graduate of the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, a writer and author of Why Meditation Works, A Glimpse Inside Your Mind and Brain, a Reiki and BKP kinesiology practitioner. James provides nutritional guidance, lifestyle support, and energy healing. I'm so excited to hear about everything you do and everything you offer to everyone. Let's begin, James. What was the path that brought you to do this type of work?
Well, it began actually maybe 15 years ago. I was in a relationship and it fell apart. But there was something different about this relationship when it fell apart that it really kind of touched some chord within me that really began to question myself, my life, and what I was doing with my life. And I began to look deeper about life and how I can move my life in a new direction. And I began to really questioning many things about life. Why am I here? What should I do? How can I do a job? Because I didn't really feel I was happy in the work I was doing. It really wasn't giving me any fulfillment. So by making all these questions, I really began to find deeper levels of myself through self-inquiry, and then really from there it kind of blossomed. But I really didn't begin right away on health and wellness. I was more interested on geniuses and how they became geniuses and how I could become a genius. So it kind of really began from there. So a few years later, after studying geniuses and intelligence, I started getting into health and wellness. And one day I was listening to this guy on the radio and he talked a lot about health and wellness and consciousness and energy and nutrition. And it really triggered something in me, and I wanted to find out who this person was. So his name was Gary Null, and I started really following him and watching his DVDs and his books. And then from there, I eventually became a health and wellness coach. And then later on, started studying Reiki and eventually kinesiology and some other techniques as well. So really, that's kind of the basis from where it began. But sometimes life throws us such a curveball that it really kind of shatters something within each of us. And it might be the wake-up call that we need, and if we can really see it more as a chance to develop from it, from a victim, I think that's the greatest lesson we can learn.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Myself being a Reiki practitioner, I just feel bringing that in my life 10 years ago was just absolutely life-changing.
Yeah, it's a great modality. You have a lot of experience and you've got a lot of great results, I imagine, and change people's lives for the better.
Yes, it's absolutely fantastic. Would you like to share with the listeners who aren't familiar with Reiki and kinesiology, share a little bit about what they are and what their differences are?
Well, Reiki is kind of the word. Reiki means universal life energy, discovered by Dr. Usui in Japan back in the 1920s. So it's really working on the energy system, because the body is much more than a physical body. We're more like an onion. And if you ever cut an onion open, you see there are many layers in the onion. So if you imagine that our body is in that centerpiece of the onion, and then all these layers around it are different forms of energy, but they're energy operating at much faster frequencies, the atoms that make up these energy fields. So there's many layers to us, and usually, like, you have the physical body, and then around the physical body, you have the etheric body, which is an energy body, and then you've got the mental body, emotional body, and finally a causal body. So these are all layers. But oftentimes, you get imbalances in these other layers, these mental and emotional bodies in particular, in a creative imbalance because the energy is going to affect the physical body later on. It's going to kind of trickling down effect. So with like Reiki, you're basically working on the higher frequency energies of the body, and the practitioner really is more like a conduit. Somebody presents a problem to the practitioner, and then that's their intention for the specific session they're having together. So they begin and have the person lie on the table, and then they walk from the head down to the toe. And they're really more a conduit where the energy passes through them, the practitioner, and they have no, not for them to dictate where the energy should go in the body, but the energy knows where to go. So they just deliver the energy, and the energy will find where it needs to go. And then they can intune sometimes as well in areas of the body that need some more energy than less of the body. And eventually, because you're really bringing the energy back into balance, into harmony, and eventually that's how the body restores itself back to the balance. So that's kind of a quick overview of Reiki. And kinesiology then is also to do with muscle testing. It was originally discovered in the 1950s by a chiropractor named Dr. George Goodhart. And he originally didn't want the average person using this kind of technique. He only wanted doctors and osteopaths to use it. So it was not until the 1970s, the name of Dr. John created a thing called Touch for Health, where he wanted to bring it to the general populace where people could use it for self-help. So since that time, after Dr. John T. bring it, they created a program called Touch for Health. So you're basically using muscle testing, and you're pressing on the body. Let's say you put your hand out straight and you hold like an apple or a supplement in your hand, and if your hand stays strong, then the body would say yes on this thing. And if it says no, it's the weak, because your body is basically reading the information in a food or a supplement, and your body is your subconscious mind, so it knows. And that's why a lot of chiropractors use it, because they're kind of reading, does this person use this food right now, and they think yes or no. So it's a good way, but I also use it for finding emotions trapped in the body. So the body's a great tool, and really the body does not lie, as they say. So the muscle testing kind of gives an access way to get to the information in the body.
Oh, I love that. I've actually had muscle testing done on myself before by a chiropractor that I go see. It really is fascinating, isn't it? And I didn't realize it could work emotionally as well. That is so fascinating.
Yeah, because when I originally studied, like when I did the course originally created by a doctor in New Zealand, Dr. Bruce Du, and we would always work on, if somebody presented a problem to us, we would always work on a goal. We never would treat, because really when somebody comes to me, I tell them, I'm not a doctor, so I don't diagnose or treat any condition. I don't prescribe medication. But what I do is I set a goal for you, but it's not just any goal. It's what we call a SMART goal, which means specific, measurable, action, realistic, and time-oriented, all compressed into a goal. And then we create a goal for whatever the client issue is, and then once we find the right goal, then we find the underlying causes, and there will always be emotions connected to that goal that needs to be cleared. Now, in traditional Chinese medicine, they correlate specific organs to specific emotions. So, for instance, the liver is correlated to anger, the kidneys are to fear, the lungs are to grief, and the heart might be to love. So these are some of the general emotions, but there's many more emotions as well. So your muscle test and how I kind of get more involved with the emotional aspect of it. I read a book called The Emotion Code, which was discovered by a chiropractor named Dr. Bradley Nelson. And he figured that 80% of people's problems coming to him, that problems were trapped emotions in the body. So he wrote this book and he created this emotion code chart where you kind of muscle test to find the exact emotion and how you came the emotion then as you would kind of set an intention, and then you could run a magnet in reverse over the governing meridian, which is the major acupuncture meridian that runs from the top of your lip, straight the center of your forehead, over the top of your head, and down your spine. And he found by doing this method that he could clear emotions from the body, and he had great results, so he wrote a whole book about it. So you can muscle test down to the exact emotion when you got it, and you can even go back to it, find out if it's an ancestor had it, which is called an inherited emotion. So you can clear from them as well in one fell swoop, basically.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. That is amazing. So if you do that testing and you find these emotions, how do you clear that up? Is it with nutrition?
Not really. So say if I'm doing muscle testing and I can zero down the emotion, and the emotion is anger. So then I'll muscle test, because sometimes when I do muscle testing now, before I used to welcome people and have them put out their hands. And but that took a long time because a lot of people are not connected with their bodies. They're really not tuned. And if you really want to muscle this correctly, you don't apply a lot of pressure on the person's hand. And also you have to check for other pre-tests that, such as is the person hydrated, are they stressed, that can have an impact where you're not going to get the correct answer. So it kind of frustrated me originally because I was using so much time to try to find the right muscle testing on this person that I said, I just can't have somebody come in and spend an hour just trying to find a muscle. In. So then with Dr. Nelson's approach then was that he could kind of surrogate with a person where he could begin muscle testing himself because now he's energetically connected to the client he's working on with the mission. So then he can muscle test on himself, and I do the same myself. I muscle test on myself for the client I'm working on. Then I can find the emotion in them. Well, actually, I'm doing it myself, but I know the emotion is their emotion. And then how I clear it is by, again, setting the intention clear. But sometimes before I clear the emotion, my last question is like, can I clear this emotion? And the body might say no. So then I might say I have to find out the age. Then I can do age risk test. I can go back 10 years. Maybe go back to the age of five, and then I could ask the person, so what happened to you around the age of five that you felt very angry, or you felt betrayed, or you felt fearful? Is there anything that came to your awareness? And then they're like, oh yeah, this thing happened. And then I would must ask again, do I need to know more about the emotions? The body then says no, because sometimes they want the person to bring to their awareness the connection with this emotion. And then how I clear it is by running a magnet in reverse over the governing meridian with the intention to clear the specific emotion. And I'm basically wiping out a frequency of energy, which is emotion, basically.
Oh,
And then
that's.
once that is done, I can say, have we cleared that trapped emotion? And using the body says, yes. So then I can move on to the next emotion.
Oh, that is so amazing. I love it. James, just listening to you, I can just feel how much you love what you do. You really do, don't you?
Well, actually, I do, because I think the question is, why do we love food? A lot of people can tell you why what they do, but really you got to ask them, why do they do it? Like, what makes you do what you do? What resonates with you? And I think really you have to really go down to the deeper levels of who you are and your true self, your soul. And when you do what your soul wants you to do, you're working from your authentic self, your true self. And that's just the reason we're here, because we all have different talents and we're all going to bring certain gifts to the world. And for me anyway, it's why I do it, because it gives me so much pleasure, and it's so great to see that I can help somebody else transform their life, transform people, share information to empower people. And because today we hear a lot about victimhood and fear and terrorism and all this stuff that can separate us. We need something to unify us. And when we can find out that we're really all coming from the same source, basically, it's great to find out that, by helping people to see that, have this wake-up call of finding, like, why they're here in the first place. Like, I think it's terrible thing to waste your whole life here. You come here and squander your time just kind of making it through, like winging through it, because most people wing through their life. They're like running the marathon. This is, if I could just get to the end stage, I'd be very happy to cross the finish line. But they go through a lot of suffering and pain and just to get there, when they could be living their life every moment as a new possibility. So why I'm so happy doing this, because I want to get people to get into that present moment and say, don't be putting off some time in the future. Right now is the only time in your life when you should ever be having a great life. And if I can bring that message to people where it resonates with them, then I think I will have achieved a lot.
Oh, I love that, James. Yes. Now, this moment is our time to be happy, isn't it?
Well, actually, because this moment, I was thinking about it. Imagine a magician. You ever know magicians and have these little hats, and they put their hands into the hat and they pull out a bird or a rabbit or a scarf. So every second is like that magician. We can pull out from the infinite possibilities something. But once that moment is gone, it will never, ever be here again. So this conversation we're having today, we will never again have a conversation like this. So it's so important to be in this moment, to give 100% of it. And then you can live your life. Every moment is a great moment, not reminiscing on the past, like, oh, that was so great back then and terrible, it's gone now. Well, it's gone forever. Why can't you have this moment right now? But you just got to be present and aware of it.
Oh, yes, I love it. I love it. James, this is so fascinating and so fun. We do have to pop out for a commercial, but everyone, hang on. James and I will be right back. Thank you, James.
Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Paula V here with James Dignam, and James is sharing some fantastic information regarding all of the different modalities he works with. He is just an inspiration of information. So, James, I am just excited to jump back in. I could listen to you for hours. I would like to ask, how do I help people? What do you say to that? How do I help people?
Well, usually before somebody I help them, usually the first thing is I have to kind of get a bit of a background from where I'm coming from. So that's why I always feel that clients who want to work with me, I send them a client intake form because that can give me a lot of information. Because particularly the early years of development, you know, asking was there any debts in the family? Do their parents lose any children or a miscarriage or anything like that? Was there any abuse in the early stages of life? Because really, those early years of life really are the foundation on which the adult is built upon. So if we've had difficult childhood, difficult or traumatic childhood, that has a huge impact on our health and well-being as we move forward in life. So that's really the foundation. So I really look at that area there, and then I would also ask them for any medications, if any surgeries, any supplements, what's their diet like, what do they have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then also, part of that kind of disease, anxiety and stress, a bunch of other questions. And finally, then I will always ask him at the end, what is the purpose of your visit here? What are your goals for this? What's your specific goal for this visit here? What's the primary thing that you work on? So usually the initial consultation is about 90 minutes, so we have to really go down. I would need to look at those early years of childhood because I've come across an interesting technique or modality called family constellations, which is discovered in Germany by a guy named Bertelling there. And it really looks more at the family soul system. And so the family soul system is a very system that has to keep order and balance in it. And it kind of says one of its major tenets is that nobody can be forgotten in the family system. So if somebody died or maybe somebody in the family had major mental illness, once upon a time they were put in an institution or they had some handicap, they were kind of forgotten about. Or even if there was a miscarriage or stillbirth or abortion, even these people must always be remembered. The system will not allow anybody to be forgotten. Because later on in generations, somebody may take on this person's fate, whatever happened to them. And it's more, they're taking on more self-consciously because they are becoming tangled, it's called entanglement, with this other person who died previously. And it's more so of a love for this person because there's such a love for this person. They're saying, I cannot allow this person to be forgotten. And they themselves would take on some kind of health issue, maybe. It could have huge implications throughout their whole life. So that's why I really ask these questions, like, because they may be concerned with this person's issue in the present time. So looking at that there and all these other factors, so then kind of I'm like a detective looking for these little clues, like what's contributing to their issue. And then we can move forward from there, whatever the goal is set for that specific session is.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That gives you the base, that gives you information. That's a brilliant idea. And then you take the next step. Tell me about what you do for them and the different modalities you use with your clients.
Yeah, so let's say we'll give an example. One client came, and this client had a back issue. So she came with pain in her back and pain in her knee and her hip. And this was a lady who wants to actually an active person. She likes to exercise, but now because of this issue, it prevented her from exercising and being active. And then she'd done some of her previous alternative work, but really wasn't getting her there yet. So she came to me, and I said, okay, now you got this pain, you got this sciatic nerve problem. I said, I'm not a doctor, so I don't prescribe or treat or diagnose. So I said, we're going to make a goal for you, but in this goal, there's going to be nothing about your pain. There's going to be nothing about your sciatic nerve. The goal is going to be what you could do if you did not have this condition. Because I really have to move somebody to where they want to be and where they are. And if you put pain into something, like that's a negative. So the goal for her was after we kind of tweaked it and adjusted because I asked the client to say, this is the goal and I want them to speak it, because then they kind of know themselves if the goal is right or wrong. They'll get a feeling, well, we need to adjust this, we need to do this and do that. So in our case, the goal was I exercise with ease and comfort within 2 weeks. So I said, how does this goal feel to you? And she says, it feels good, but I need more time for this to happen. So I said, okay, let's change it to 4 weeks. And she said, that sounds great. So now we have the right goal. So now I'm going to start looking for emotions. I said, is there any emotions connected to this goal that we can clear now? And there was a whole host of emotions that I cleared. And then I kind of checked the chakra system as well, using crystals, specifically just to the chakras. And then I said, okay, that's it. But then get back to me. So then a month later, she contacted me and she did some other work. And she said, now my back pain is gone and I'm exercising. So that's just one example of one thing. But other people come for heavier issues, one client, an autoimmune disease. Another person's working on their relationships. Another person is working on back issues. Another person will clean up their diet. So it varies on the person. And I think whoever comes to me is meant to come to me. And that's how I see that we all kind of have our own frequency. And there's certain people who are on that wavelength and they connect with us and we work with them. And these are the people I feel we can help best.
Oh, yes.
So then it varies on the, if one client I worked on who had an autoimmune disease, I spoke for a year with this person and eventually helped them to reverse their own. But again, it depends on where a person is from, because again, you're a body, mind, spirit. These are the three aspects that make up the human being. And if you want to be healthy and whole, you must support these three different aspects of ourselves. And we're still kind of, not many people still really focus on the spirit or the higher self. So to give an easy analogy, because a lot of people just can't wrap their mind around the concept or even believe in the higher self. So imagine that your body is correlated to the ocean, and that your mind is correlated to the rivers and streams and estuaries that feed into the ocean. And then imagine that your higher self, your soul, is the ice caps that feed into everything. So usually problems downstream are usually beginning upstream. That's why with energy healing, you're getting into the higher realms. That's why acupuncture taps into the etheric energy body, finds energetic imbalances and adjusts them. And that's why the physical body is the in space, like the ocean, where these problems manifest. When conventional medicine says, we discovered your cancer in time. Well, not really, because that cancer probably was manifesting for 10 or 20 years. But the physical manifestation did not show until recently. And so conventional medicine really does not see into the higher realms. It's very limited. And what it can do is it's close to health and wellness.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is so powerful, James.
Oh, thank you.
Putting it all together. I love that. Now, I would love to ask you, I read on your website, and I was intrigued by this. You talk about exploring primary foods and exploring secondary foods. I'm very into nutrition and all of that fun stuff, and feel that's very important to work with our mind and our energy. It's all just a big pie, and I think nutrition's a big piece. So I would love to hear what you mean by that, primary food, secondary food.
Yeah, so let's begin with secondary food. Secondary food is the food that we put on our plate. And sometimes our body is a machine. Our body is just like an automobile, really. In your automobile, you have to put fuel. I started off by training. My first job was an auto mechanic. So I had a very good understanding of the mechanism of an automobile. And one thing an automobile must have is fuel. And the fuel for the human body is food. So we have to put in fuel. Now, imagine your body is a Ferrari. Now, would you go to a gas station for the cheapest, lowest octane fuel into a high-performance engine? Well, if you're somebody who really understands, you probably would. You know, I need very high-octane fuel. But imagine our body. We put in very low-octane fuel into a high-performance body, which is processed, refined food. And our body's not meant to function on these unnatural foods, basically. So I help people to find the right fuel for their body. There's three major macronutrients in food. There's protein, fat, and carbohydrates. So we need to consume clean protein, healthy fat, and slow-burning carbohydrates. These are the major tenets of food itself, but then there's different varieties of foods, whether you want to be a meat eater or a vegetarian or a vegan, somebody's different there. So that's kind of the basic of our secondary food. And then there's primary food, and primary food looks at the food that does not come on a plate, such as your career, your relationship, your spirituality, and if you have regular exercise. So these are all the primary foods, because usually the primary foods, I think, are more important. That's why the word is primary there, and food classed as secondary, because if there's imbalances in these areas of your life, then you're not going to make healthy food choices. If you're stressed and you're under pressure, you know you're not going to eat healthy. You're going to eat caffeine and sugar and processed foods, and it eventually takes a heavy load in the body, which can eventually lead it towards disease. So by looking at these areas of the person, it's like a bird's eye view. These are like the pieces of a puzzle of your life. Then I can look at this, okay, where's the imbalance here now of your career? Have you a job that you enjoy doing? And maybe we can ask the person, maybe you can find a new job. Where, what would you like to do now? Maybe you want to change careers, maybe it's the wrong job. And then we can kind of discuss that and see if we can make changes. And then is your relationship healthy and loving? Are they toxic? Because relationships are very intimate, and they're really, we go in relationships places we would not go with any other person. Is a very intimate connection. So we got to make sure they're very healthy and, you know, not toxic. The relationships are, they're a test, but we really have to work on ourselves to have healthy relationships and know ourselves as well. And then, of course, we got to have regular exercise. Our ancestors didn't have the luxury of sitting around in caves having food delivery show up. They had to get up out of their ass basically and run out and chase and hunt and walk and search and put their life on the line to feed themselves in order to live. So our genes are still functioning off our ancestors. So our genes are meant to be moved, and our body is meant to be moved. But also, we now have sedentary. There's a slogan saying sedentary is the new smoking. That being too sedentary, it will be the same as smoking a pack of cigarette every day. And we just sit too much in our conventional lifestyle. So we have to move our bodies every day in conjunction with moving our bodies. And of course, in the spiritual practice, we have to find some way, whatever it is to that person. Some people are tied to religion. Some people want to go into nature. Some people want to meditate. And whatever is specific to that person. So really looking at the person's whole life and then say, how can we support them? So there, that's the primary food, those ones, career, relationship, spirituality, and regular exercise. And food in the secondary food.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it, James. Also, I see on your website, you talk about essential oils. Tell us a little bit about the essential oils and how you work those in your practice and what that does for your clients.
Yeah, originally I kind of didn't know much about it. I had read about them because I'm always interested really about many facets to health and wellness. And a friend of mine kind of got involved with Yung Living, the company that I kind of sell their oils. And, you know, Yung Living also makes these different blends. So she was trying to sell these oils, and I was interested in them. And then, because if you look at the sense of smell, the olfactory senses, which really are right inside our nose, that's one of the first senses that evolved in human beings. So when you smell something, the information goes very quickly into your brain, which comes into your awareness. One person said all it has to do is cross one neuron in your brain, and that information gets right into your awareness immediately. Now this goes back to evolution, because if you were in our evolutionary days and there was a lot of danger out there and predators, so if you were downstream or downhill from a predator and you smelled that danger, you then could make choices to get out of the danger. You couldn't be waiting around till they see you, or it might be too late. So that sense of smell is a very old sense called the olfactory senses. And I think that's why the essential oils, which are pure oils that come from many forms of plants, and they can affect in many ways. And we're very, it's also connected with the mammalian part of the brain, which is the center of our brain, where the limbic system and the amygdala are, that's where all the emotions are. So these oils can have a big impact on our emotions. And they can help us be more calm. Like lavender is a very good oil for calming ourselves, or peppermint just give us more energy. And there's a whole bunch of other oils that we can do and do blends as well, you know. But I kind of use them because there's certain ones called release, transformation. Sometimes if I'm working with a client and they're clearing a trapped emotion, I might have them put a little drop in their hand and rub it and they say, okay, smell this oil, because this thing will get their emotions is kind of alert, and then also step and be ready to release emotion. And once they find the emotion, it can help them more. So they get more in touch with the levels on deeper levels of their awareness. So that's kind of my approach basically to life. I know some people work exclusively out and do major work, maybe some massage work they use in like a raindrop therapy is using massage, and there's other ways as well, you know. So that's my
Yes.
usage anyway out there.
Oh, I love it. Myself, being a Reiki practitioner, I will make a special little spray bottle with particular oils and spray that, before a Reiki session. And I just think it's just such a great enhancement. It's just so much of it all goes together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is, because we're all trying to really get back to these higher levels of who we are, because we're multi-dimensional beings. So we function on many different levels. And these levels, like the mental and emotional levels, I feel these are the real areas that we have so much issues with, because we kind of, our energy field ends up like Swiss cheese, where we have all these holes in it. And these usually are from trauma, from old events, and become, we become. We lose our light basically if we have all these holes in our energy field, because the more light we have, the more we feel lighter, the more we become enlightened. So the more we can work on these levels. Another thing that you can also use lots of emotion is the Bach fluorescences were discovered by Dr. Edward Bach in the United Kingdom in the early 1900s. And he, Dr. Bach, found that these emotions, how he discovered the Bach remedies was he would be walking out in this countryside in the morning, and he would all be petting these different plants and flowers, and all of a sudden he'd be overcome by these emotions, and he'd kind of say, well, these are not my emotions, but somehow they're coming up in me. And then he would put his finger on the dewdrop of a specific flower and put it on his lip, and then could negate the emotion. So from that there, then he created the fluorescence. Well, this flower does this emotion, and then he created these, I think they're like 38 different fluorescents. So they work again on the emotional level.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Fantastic. I'm afraid we have to pop out for another commercial, but everyone, I will be right back with James. Thank you, James.
Thank you very much, Paula.
You're welcome. Hello, everyone. We're popping right back in. Paula V here with James Dignam. James is. Just has me so excited. All this fantastic information and inspiration he's sharing with us. Everything we've discussed are all passionate topics for me. I love it. I'm very excited to ask you, James. I would love to discuss awareness and consciousness, moving, connecting to our higher self. What would you like to share to the listeners on that thought?
When you talk about the word awareness, we don't think of it. We think of awareness like, oh, I'm aware that this is happening or that is happening. But when we're dealing with spirituality, one of his books, like Deepak Chopra, everybody's probably read his books, but he kind of says awareness is magic. And one book he wrote was Spiritual Solutions, and he kind of said there's three different levels of awareness. The first one is called constricted awareness. That's when people are in problems and they have no way of getting resolving these problems. And the more they try to get out of the problem, the more they get stuck in there. The next level then is called expanded awareness, where they begin to get solutions, they begin to get help, and finding the pure awareness. So pure awareness is you're living from your soul, basically, and that's the level we have to get there. But as he describes, awareness is not just one word. Awareness is made up of perception, belief, assumption, expectation, and feeling. So these are actually how we develop as human beings. We develop all these things, and this is how we see reality. These are the tent that we see reality, and then so we never can really say we have an objective view of a situation, because we're going to see it through all these different tents. So in order for us to get to this higher awareness, we really have to kind of look at all these different levels, the beliefs that we have, the perceptions we have, and we find out they're not correct. They're because when we are born, we came into the world, and we came in as a tabula rasa, which is the Greek word for blank slate. And then we had to function in this world, and then our teachers and our parents, these are the people who gave us information. And basically, we're operating from these people, our teachers, these people who gave us the perception of reality, the beliefs. producing that are not correct, and we're trying to function on these false belief systems. So the only way for us to really get to these levels is we have to really kind of let go of all these things. You know, you're talking about consciousness and getting to the higher self and everything. We really have to shed the old self. As Nietzsche says, the snake who cannot shed his skin will die. So unless we can shed these parts of our old self, which usually go back to early development, we cannot really be reborn into the true higher self. And awareness really is our soul base, because if you're unaware, you're probably in a coma or something, because you're not unaware of what's happening around you. So the more that we can tap in with awareness, we can feel things, we can see who's showing up in our life, seeing the signs that show up in our life, the more we tap into that and aware of it and see which way we should go, then we're moving in the right direction. So I think that's why awareness is a very important word. But most of the time today, people are very distracted. The average person has an attention span of 6 seconds. So they don't have a lot of attention. And if you don't have attention, then you don't have good awareness.
Well, so having good awareness, really, we need to increase our attention.
Yes, and I think that's why meditation is very good, because we got to slow down these thoughts that kind of stream through our mind like a raging river. And most of the time, we're like somebody who's stuck in the middle of a river, and we feel helpless. We feel we're carried away by these thought streams that come along. What we have to do really is get out of the river and get onto the river bank, because then you're the soul. The soul is just sits there. Like, think of your, this is how I kind of put it, your body is a verb, because it's constantly changing, processing, digesting, eliminating. Your mind is a verb because you're constantly thinking, contemplating, figuring out stuff. But your soul is a noun. It does not change. It is constant. So when you meditate, you get back to that point that's solid, and it's in the present moment. It doesn't fluctuate or waver. And then you can see all these things passing you. Like you're lying on the grass and you're looking up at the sky in the summer day, and you see all the clouds that just pass you by. So imagine those clouds are your body and your mind, but there's something constant up there that does not change, and that's the sun. The sun is often called the solar system. So if you're coming from your sun, because the sun is there 24 hours a day, what animates life? And it's the soul that's what animates your life. So once you get back to that, and you get back there to meditation, and then you become more aware, and then new stuff comes into your awareness that you were never aware of before, because your consciousness is widening up. You're seeing more stuff. Your nervous system expands. You're tapping into higher realities of information through meditation and being really aware around you and letting go of old self. As your light brightens up, because you're healing the wounds, you're working on yourself, you're really looking at past stuff, and you're letting it all go. You're not becoming a victim anymore. You're not saying, poor me, and life is terrible, and I got no control. You're the person who controls your life. Out there is actually what's a reflection of inside you. So like a projector, which is inside you, projecting the screen of reality, and you're buying into what's showing up on the screen. But really, if you don't like the movie being played, you have to change the reel. And that means you got to get inside yourself, and meditation and being still and aware and letting go of old stuff and not getting attached to anything.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, James. Oh my gosh, I love that. And the verb, the noun, that is absolutely amazing. I love it.
So again, if we kind of look at the word consciousness really is reality. If we look at the creator, so we have this thing called the creator, and we go with many names, known as the God, the absolute, the divine matrix, super consciousness. So this creator created this whole system, but it's an enclosed system. So imagine the ocean, which is like this huge ecosystem, and in the ecosystem there's all kinds of different fish life and everything. But they're all doing their own little thing. They're all in their own little reality bubble, these little fishes and sea plants and whatever. But they have everything they possibly need. And imagine the whole ocean system is consciousness. Consciousness consists of everything. Everything that you see in your reality comes from consciousness. Whether you label it good or bad, it is part of the system. There is no escaping that. And if you can really get into yourself, and because duality is a big problem we have in life, we see something is bad, so we're trying to run away from it, and we run towards the good. But the system is a magnetic system. You cannot break up a magnet. There's two parts to it. If you look at the yin and yang symbol, it's really like a magnet because you've got positive and negative, dark and light, masculine and feminine, but they're all in one circle, and consciousness is a complete circle. And this is how evolution works. You've got to have these positive and negative charges, and in order just to get beyond them and to integrate the imbalances or the separations of positive and negative. And it's all because the purpose of the whole system is evolution, and the creator wants beings to evolve to the point that they become co-creators and realize when they look in the mirror, I am the creator. Because you are, there's no separate you from the creator, you're of the creator.
Yes.
So imagine the cosmos like a big tapestry, and imagine every thread in that tapestry is of the creator, and you're one of those threads in that tapestry.
Beautiful, beautiful. And what do you say on the concept? I'm very big in believing where we take our thoughts. Okay, if I focus on fear, doubt, or if I focus on trust, love, peace, I believe that creates a whole different reality in our lives as well. Any comment on that thought?
Yes, definitely. But I read a great book called, Something Spiritual, about this lady. I forget now the name. She talked about when we have these emotions, because if you look how emotions come into the body, the late NIH scientist, Dr. Candace Park, says we're more like flickering flames than hunks of meat. And so we're constantly changing. But what changes us is these emotions. So imagine these emotions that come out of consciousness, and then they have to come into our awareness. We have to become aware of a fear or anger or happiness. So how it does that is this electrical impulse is created in the brain, and then the brain begins to amplify that impulse, and then it comes into our awareness. And then in our brain, we're going to create something called neuropeptides, which are often called the molecules of emotion. And then these peptides are going to be pumped into our bloodstream, and they're going to come to a cell, and then they're going to be like a key, and lock it behind the door, and they're going to connect to a receptor on the cell membrane, and then they're going to send a specific message into the cell, and then the cell is going to respond exactly to what that message is. So, you know, if we keep bringing in the negative emotions, well, then we're going to turn on stress hormones, fear, worry, and cortisol, epinephrine, which is a stress hormone. So when we do have these emotions, it's important that we don't dismiss them at the same time, like, oh, I got to be happy and positive all the time. If I'm not feeling that way, we have to have emotional integrity. So if I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling, I'll say, okay, what's causing it? Let's kind of purge it out of my system, like an emotional catharsis where we let it out and release it. And if we need to get help, we should get help. We can't say, oh, I need to be happy and smiling and everything is good. And it's not there. You know, we have to be really authentic with ourselves and have these emotions, but also realize that every emotion is paired to an opposite emotion. That's why the magnetic system is there. If you're feeling happy, then the opposite of that is sadness. And when you're feeling one emotion, the opposite is always in your subconscious mind. If happiness in your conscious mind right now, you can be sure that the opposite of that is in your subconscious, which is sadness. And there's a universal law that says everything in its time will return to its opposite. So you're not going to be happy every day of your life. At a point in time, the wheel will turn, and you're going to be sad. And then you're going to be in pleasure, but the next day you're going to be in pain. And that's why we're on this pendulum-like effect that we're always running from the bad to keep up with the good, but eventually the bad's going to catch up with it. So we have to be in the middle way, as the Buddhists say, which is the center point, where we're not thrown left or right, we're in balance. And the only way to do that is actually integrate these imbalanced states of mind. They have to be kind of put together and offered up to spirit to help integrate it back into the whole system. And only then can we really be truly at peace and at healthy. And again, we're evolving ourselves. We're raising our vibration, our frequency, and we're no longer getting thrown off life like a balance beam. We've got stability, and we're not going to get tied into the situation in the past that threw us for a loop there. You know?
Yes.
Oh, if that makes sense to you.
It does. It does. Oh, I love it. You are an inspiration, James. I just love all of this information you're sharing. Could you please take a moment and share with the listeners your website information, how they can get a hold of you? We just have a few more minutes, and whatever last words of wisdom that you would like to share with us today.
Sure. So my contact information is my website is www dot my name, which is JAMESDUIGNAM.com. That's again www.JAMESDUIGNAM.com. Or my email address is James at my website again, which is JAMESDUIGNAM. That's James at JamesDuigen.com. And then my contact number is 646-296-1669. 646-296-1669. So that's my contact information. So if I was to share some parting words here, we have to see ourselves as a multidimensional being, which is a body, mind, and spirit. And we have to support these different areas of who we are. So the body can be supported by eating wholesome nutrients in food, exercise, getting quality sleep, dealing with stress in our life constructively. And then we also need to exercise. And then to work with the mind, we need to do some stress reducing techniques. We need to do meditation, deep breathing, some journal writing, and finding balance in our life. And finally, then we have the higher self, which is our spirit, again, through meditation, being present, into prayer, going into nature, sound, stillness. So these are just three basic ways, but if you can really focus on these three different ways and not to take your life so seriously, not personalize it, realize you, all you have is the present moment. And at any present moment, something spectacular may happen. So you just have to show up every your life and make every moment the most important moment of your life.
Oh, I love it. Oh, James, I am so honored to have you on the show and the opportunity, have that opportunity to share you with my listeners. I just can't thank you enough.
I am so grateful to and appreciative of the opportunity to share with your guests. I hope information will help them so they can live healthier and happier lives and fulfill their life's purpose and passion.
Oh. Thank you so much. Thank you for all you do for others. I look forward to staying connected with you and possibly another show down the road. I would love that.
Looking forward to our next talking.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, James. Love, hugs, blessings. Thank you to our listeners. Love, hugs, blessings. A happy day to everyone. Paula V's. Thank you, James.
Thank you very much, Paula. I really enjoyed it.
I'm so happy.